Thank you. So now we're going to move on to item 27, Measure D active transportation expenditures and finding financing options. Staff, thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Grace Blakesley of your staff. The item before you today is to provide information about the recent updates to potential funding needs for development of the Coastal Rail Trail projects. Request your direction on project delivery where information is available, and also to initiate financing options for the Measure D active transportation category. Next slide, please. So as Director Christensen mentioned, and in her report, as well as part of the prior item, RTC and its partners are advancing the delivery of projects at a faster pace than Measure D pay-as-you-go allow. So what we're seeing is we're providing these public benefits earlier than the full term of Measure D, but it is necessitating for the Measure D active transportation category financing to continue to deliver these projects as currently scheduled. Therefore, as part of the discussion, RTC, with support of RTC's KNN finance, public finance consultant, we're going to provide an overview of how current and potential future near-term and longer-term funding needs that are known to date could impact the availability of Measure D active transportation revenues for current projects under development and future projects. As also mentioned, I feel like there's a theme here today. As Measure D revenues are essential for leveraging state and federal funds, they were not for the Measure D active transportation category anticipated to fully fund the 32-mile coastal rail trail, but we have been very successful in using these local funds to leverage state and federal funds. For the coastal rail trail projects, it's approximately over $150 million that we've been able to leverage from the state and federal funds. Before I go into the details of this slide, I wanted to let the commission and the public know that today's item is for information only related to project updates and potential funding needs. We will return to the commission in November, well, expected to be in November, with any additional recommendations on future programming of Measure D funds. RTC in general will continue to work through project cost estimates with the project sponsors prior to that date to refine them and to bring to you proposed programming updates as appropriate for the next five-year plan update. So this is an image that we keep on our website and we keep updating. The goal is to get the entire line that you see there to green, which means the Coastal Rail Trail will be completely open to the public. We have had some recent updates that I wanted to highlight. This is very obviously a regional project and very complex. So we're very proud when we complete different segments. These segments are being completed in coordination with the cities and the counties, the County of Santa Cruz as well. And we'll talk a little bit about the different project sponsors and leads going forward. So the update since I was last before you to talk about the Coastal Rail Trail projects is segment 7 was completed. So the green area kind of left of center is extended to show that the segment 7 project now is completed all the way to the wharf in the city of Santa Cruz. So the recent addition was from the intersection of Bay Avenue and California down to the wharf. So I hope you all had a chance to participate in the ribbon cutting and at least ride the trail if you haven't already. The other significant update is what you discussed at your August meeting, which was award of the SB1 grant for the Highway 1 State Park and Freedom Auxiliary Lane and Bus on Shoulder project, and also including the Segment 12 project. So that now is construction funded based on the current cost estimates. Some of the focus of discussion today will be on segments 8 through 11. So I wanted to make sure you were able to view those on the screen. Segment 8 and 9 are being led by the City of Santa Cruz in coordination with the County of Santa Cruz. And segment 10 and 11 are being led by the County of Santa Cruz. I also wanted to highlight for folks in the northern part of county, if you haven't been up there, if you have been up there, you'll see that segment 5, which extends between Wilder Ranch and Davenport, is still under construction and is expected to be completed in summer 2026. Next slide, please. You know, there's a lot of information on the site. I wanted to kind of point out a couple of things, but I also wanted it to be a resource for you and the members of the public who are viewing this presentation today. So we've looked at the Coastal Rail Trail Segments 5. I discussed that. That's under construction on the North Coast, Segment 8 through 11, which extend from Pacific Avenue to State Park. Segment 12, I mentioned the new funding that was awarded and you recognized in your August commission meeting that extends from State Park to Rio Del Mar. And then also under development as part of the zero emission passenger rail and trail project, the commission have seen proposed alignments for segments 17, 18, and 19 in and around the city of Watsonville, as well as other segments in the county of Santa Cruz, extending from Rio Del Mar to San Andreas Road, as well as the crossing of Pajaro River. These projects all have different status. And the ones that I hadn't touched on in the prior slide are segments 17, 18, and 19. The RTC has programmed $4.8 million to those projects for pre-construction funding, and we are gearing up to release the request for proposals to complete the preliminary design and environmental work for that project. But construction funding for that project has not been programmed or identified to date. So that would be a future funding need. Similar for segments 13 through 16 and 20, we have not identified or programmed the pre-construction or construction funding as part of that, but the design is being informed by the work completed as part of the zero emission passenger rail and trail project. On related to the segment 8 and 11 project, we're focusing on that today because project cost estimates were recently updated for those projects in August 2025. The purpose of bringing that information to the commission again is so that you can consider what potential impacts that will have on project delivery and potential use of Measure D funds in the future. What we see is the project cost estimates from August 2025 show that the total funding gap has grown for those projects, both in the area of final design, including funding for right-of-way, as well as for the construction costs. This is largely due to the unit cost updates, the unit cost increases for materials, as well as escalation costs that we're seeing currently, and the shift in the schedule for the project as they move forward towards delivery. These cost estimates also reflect the direction provided by the commission to seek cost savings and through the value engineering analysis, as well as seek new funding. Although there was cost savings through the value engineering analysis, they've been largely offset by the escalation costs. As well as we were successful in obtaining an additional $19.5 million for these projects, but still we still have a funding gap that we need to address. Oh, I did want to point out in terms of those cost estimates, the total was shown here in terms of the construction cost and cost for environmental mitigation at $65 million shown in the slide do not include the potential cost savings of working with Roaring Camp for the rail track relocation. We do have a memorandum of understanding with them to do that work, and we appreciate their coordination. However, we're still working through the details of how that would be implemented. So this is a conservative estimate that is still an opportunity for future cost savings. Next slide, please. So in the staff report, for informational purposes only, we're not necessarily recommending these three different scenarios, but we wanted to try to provide a range of information for the commission to consider about what the current and future needs for the Measure D active transportation category would be. It's similar to the question Commissioner Clark asked related to the highway program in terms of thinking about the capacity of the measure over the long term. So what we've provided today, for examples, are what kind of financing would be required based on the current programmed funds. So what is in the adopted five-year plan? The commission typically considers the adopted five-year plan every year in November, but we also do make updates throughout the year, similar to what you considered in the previous item to address project needs. We also provided a scenario which looked at what we're calling the anticipated near-term needs as presented to you in April of this year, we know that there'll be some upcoming needs for additional environmental mitigation related to the North Coast Rail Trail Project, Segment 5. And then we've also been informed by the City of Santa Cruz and the County of Santa Cruz that they will need additional funding for design and right-of-way to proceed with their project development. So that's an immediate need to do that. And also, as discussed on the previous slide, we are aware that in terms of the longer-term potential commitments for Measure D, it could include construction funding for segments 8 through 11. As a reminder, at your board meeting in April 2024, the commission did commit to fully funding specifically segments 10 and 11 as a way to support the county in moving forward with their Caltrans cooperative agreement for the active transportation program funds. So I'm going to pass it over to Melissa, who's online. She is with KNN Public Finance, and she's helped prepare the discussion of how the financing might look for these different scenarios, the current, anticipated near term, and anticipated longer term, and also discuss some of the opportunities that the commission would have or options for pursuing financing. So although we're not asking for programming additional funding today, we want you to be aware of what the funding needs are and also ask for direct to begin the process for financing, and which we would return to you at a later date with all of the materials required for your approval before entering into those agreements. Next slide, please. Melissa, are you there?
Thank you, Grace, and pleasure to be here with you all this morning. The slide in front of you is a table that we extracted from the staff report. KNN has been working very closely with Grace and other members of the RTC staff, evaluating various expenditure scenarios specific to the active transportation program. On this table, we summarize for those three different project expenditure scenarios, anticipated revenues to be allocated to the Measure D active transportation program over the five-year period, which is consistent in all three scenarios. And then the difference of the scenarios is the different capital expenditure needs that we evaluated in the context of the active transportation program. So you'll see that the current program, it's kind of just under $40 million of capital expenditures. Anticipated near term considers an additional $10 million of expenditures, and then the longer term programming nearly doubles that up to approximately $80 million of expenditures. And so what we do on our end with regard to managing the, helping you all manage the Measure D program and making certain that each expenditure category kind of is able to support its needs and its projects on its own, we evaluate and look at ongoing cash flow within each expenditure category. In this context, we evaluated different borrowing needs across these three different scenarios, which range from about $12.5 million in assuming current programming for the expenditures within that scenario, to $23 million of potential borrowing need as we look at an additional $10 million of expenditures, and then even up to the kind of the higher and outer limit of the capital expenditure expectations would require bonding needs of approximately $55 million over the course of several years. You know, we look at, you know, all of these borrowings and analyses that we've done in the context of your capital expenditure needs, again, have aimed to maintain a positive cash flow balance within the active transportation expenditure category. And we also closely look at active transportation's ability to support any debt service on a borrowing that may be issued in the context of these programs. Next slide. So just to again underscore the assumptions utilized as we approach the analysis, as well as in the Measure D expenditure and cash flow model, you know, all borrowings, if RTC were to issue debt supported by the Measure D sales tax revenues, the entirety of sales tax revenues would be pledged to the bonds. However, any borrowing for active transportation or maybe highway in the future are sized so that that particular program category has sufficient resources to repay the debt for a specific program category project. So in actuality, a bond financing and revenues to debt service will be much stronger in the eyes of bondholders. But as we manage the borrowing within each program category, we closely look at debt service coverage within each program category as well. We also size borrowing such that the program category maintains kind of sufficient liquidity to adjust to potential changes in projected revenues. So the current cash flow model assumes modest annual increases in Measure D sales tax revenues. To the extent that it be a decline in revenues from any given year, we make certain that we, in modeling, we maintain some level of liquidity on an annual basis to such that we can adapt to changes in projected revenues. And then I should note that the borrowings in the model assume the issuance of long-term bonds with a final term on the bonds that does not exceed the term of the Measure D tax. So therefore, if RTC were to issue bonds or exercise a borrowing, you know, in the next fiscal year on a long-term basis, the term of the bonds would be approximately 20 years between the next fiscal year and the term of your tax. Next slide. So what we thought we would do is just share a few examples of each of the cash flow and borrowing scenarios that we ran with RTC staff. So again, the first scenario is the current programming. And you'll see on the top graph that the current programming does suggest that based on the cash flow model assumptions, there may not be sufficient resources to meet the capital expenditure needs between fiscal 25 and fiscal 29. So you'll see that the green bar, which is represents total cash flow resources within the active transportation program, that green line falls below the orange bars in fiscal 27, 28, and 29. So how do we solve that? In the below chart, we show the infusion of borrowing resources of approximately $12.5 million. And then that the green line now increases and there's sufficient resources to cover those expenditures, which is the orange bars, over the projected period, and then subsequent to the projected expenditures, there's sufficient additional capacity within the active transportation program, even after paying debt service on the borrowing and after covering program and project maintenance within the active transportation category. So again, all that white space between the green line and the blue bars is additional capacity or available resources within active transportation. Next slide. So these are the same charts that we just reviewed. But on the top, the green, the orange bars now show capital expenditures associated with the second scenario, which includes the addition of an additional 10 million in project expenditures. And as you might expect, by adding more expenditures, our green line available cash flow resources is lower than the prior slide. And our negative balances are greater by adding more expenditures. So we increase on the bottom chart, we show an increase of borrowing proceeds to cover the additional capital expenditure requirements associated with these anticipated near-term programming needs. And then you will see that subsequent to that project construction period and after fiscal year 29, there remains capacity within active transportation for additional programming after paying debt service on any borrowing, program and project maintenance. Next slide. So this slide represents kind of that third final scenario, which Grace introduced as the constrained final. And this is simply to say, under the current assumptions in the cash flow model, which projects revenues within active transportation to grow at a modest growth rate of 2% annually, kind of what can, what's the maximum amount of capital expenditures and bonding active transportation can support to deliver anticipated longer term programming. And in this instance, we've added, as noted earlier, kind of a total additional capital expenditures of approximately another 30 million or more. And you'll see that then we, in order to meet these additional capital expenditures, we've increased our borrowing amount such that the expenditures can be delivered in that same time frame as envisioned. However, given that this is kind of the maximum constrained scenario, you'll now see that future anticipated cash flow resources in active transportation will be solely devoted to the repayment of debt service and program maintenance. And under this scenario, there would be no additional capacity for projects or further programming beyond what we're showing here. Next slide. So as Grace mentioned, this is an information item. I know staff is working diligently to come back on several occasions to present to the commission with regard to any borrowing strategy they may pursue. I think we just simply wanted to highlight there's different strategies that could be utilized based on, the project certainty, the expenditure needs and the borrowing needs. And if it's just, it's likely that if, RTC's borrowing needs are smaller, and just need to address some kind of just initial mismatch between revenues and expenditures, a line of credit interim borrowing solution may be an efficient way of addressing cash flow for active transportation. However, if the cash flow deficit is larger, not only for active transportation, but potentially in tandem with other program categories under Measure D, it may be more appropriate to issue a longer term borrowing, which would likely be in the form of a public municipal bond that we could evaluate state and federal loan program. So we will be continuing to analyze and determine kind of the exact borrowing needs under the near term, not only within active transportation, but maybe other program categories. And I know staff will return to this commission with a recommendation of the appropriate borrowing tool in line with the borrowing need. Next slide. So just to highlight just key next steps as staff and KNN are starting to think through the potential need to borrow to move forward with several of the projects under Measure D and active transportation specifically. And first and foremost is just really to establish a legal framework to incur debt. RTC is able to, by being a local transportation authority, there's a specific state statute that allows RTC to pledge Measure D sales tax revenues. RTC will have to bring on a bond counsel on board to establish the documentation and the legal requirements in order to use Measure D revenues to repay, to secure debt and repay bondholders or lender. And as mentioned previously, we'll be working on cash flow models and different scenarios really to come to a strong kind of plan of finance and recommendation for the commission on the appropriate borrowing approach based on the expenditure needs. And then following just the established plan of finance, we will work closely with staff and legal advisors to prepare the financing for final commission approval. So once again, this is just an information item. There'll be more bites at the apple to provide transparency to this commission. But ultimately, any borrowing would need your approval, and it would need your approval in terms of establishing not to exceed borrowing parameters, both in terms of the amount borrowed and the borrowing rate. And then that process will provide other information and level of transparency with regard to the specific borrowing approach. And so with that, I think I pass it back over to Grace to wrap up.
Thank you, Melissa. Next slide, please. Before I know there's a lot of text on this slide, but I feel like that's a lot of the charts can be confusing at times, and there's a lot of details in there. So I try to communicate it in as many different ways for different types of people who take in different information differently. But before I move on, I wanted to just note that the three example graphs that Melissa shared with us are, again, just scenarios that we could consider based on the current programming needs, the anticipated near-term funding, the longer-term funding needs. Also, that all of those expenditure scenarios assume ongoing corridor maintenance. So that is a cost that we assumed throughout the life of Measure D. The commission adds programming funding for that work typically as part of the five-year process, and we add an additional year. And that's the only ongoing cost, though, that we did assume in those scenarios. We did not assume that we would continue to fund trail maintenance costs that are currently in the five. I mean, it would be only commit to the trail maintenance costs that are in the five-year plan through 2028-29, and it does not identify additional funding for segments 13 through 20. So those are other considerations for the commission. I also wanted to note that we do have some assumptions in the scenarios that could change as we come to you in November with the Measure D 5-year update. And those are primarily smaller changes, but related to the total expenditures we've actually made in 24-25, which we're working on updating, which could provide additional revenues in 25-26 if there's carryover. So you might see the graphs in terms of the years that financing is needed potentially shift, but I don't expect it to change significantly. And then also in that third column, which is the anticipated long-term funding in the third graph that you saw, I wanted to reiterate what Melissa said. So that scenario is, we called it the constrained, because that's the maximum that the Measure D active transportation category can sustain. So that's a $55 million borrowing need. And that is still would not be sufficient to fully fund the segments eight through 11 construction based on current cost estimates. So understanding that there has to be a multi-pronged approach to completing the funding for those segments. We didn't provide you with the scenario to show that it's infeasible. So we showed you the constrained scenario of $55 million. So this is just a summary of those slides. I wanted just to point out again, that the new capacity, and you probably picked it out on the graphs, would be available in fiscal year 2930 should we go forward with financing for the current programming needs and the near-term programming needs. So those are kind of in terms of thinking about when new revenues would be available. Next slide. So to sum up, I wanted just to review the staff recommendation. We're here before you again to provide the updates to the project cost estimates for the Coastal Rail Trail projects under development, direct us to continue as staff working with our project sponsors and funding partners, continue to look for opportunities to reduce costs for these projects. This could include modifications to the scope of the project, and then authorize the executive director to initiate that process for financing needed to secure the additional revenues earlier. I wanted to also acknowledge that the project manager for segment 8 and 9, Matt Sarkis, here. He spoke to you on an earlier item and can answer more detailed questions on cost estimates if you have them. We still are refining those, as well as the project manager for the county, Rod Tidmore, for segments 10 and 11.